Unexplored Territory Podcast. For this episode, we invited Cody Hosterman to the show to introduce Pure Cloud Block Store for Azure VMS Solution. Welcome back to the show, Cody.
Thanks. It's good to be here. I always enjoy chatting with you, Duncan.
Hey, we had you on the show for episode 4 talking about vVols. Today, we're going to be talking about something else. But before we do, it's probably good to explain who Cody is and what you do at Pure Storage.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's good to be back. I am a senior director of product management here at Pure Storage. I'm responsible for a couple different parts of our business these days. The VMware ecosystem, so essentially our co-engineering projects with VMware, VMware go-to-market, our integrations, all that stuff. In particular with our Flasher ABU, but really we're anywhere VMware touches Pure, I'm generally somewhere involved. And over the past couple of years, I started taking over part of our cloud business as well. And that's specifically focused on our Cloud Block Store product, which is the software implementation of what folks usually call FlashArray or on-premises AFA. It's that software, but running inside of AWS and Azure. So I've taken ownership of that product. Historically, I've been at Pure for about 9.5 years now. Most of that time, I was doing useful work, hands-on stuff. But in the past couple of years, I've shifted into product management, so taking a little bit different bite at that same apple. But it's been a bit of a journey. Before that, I was at EMC for many years, also focused on VMware integration. So I've been doing the VMware storage stuff for about 15 years now.
Yeah, you're basically a VMware employee by now, but we're not really paying you for it. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about something that you've already just mentioned. So you already kind of gave the scoop. We'll be talking about the Pure Storage solutions for Microsoft Azure VMS solution in particular. Now, or AVS in short, that's often referred to. Maybe we can start with what was announced at a high level and why Pure Storage is actually moving into that space, because I also think that's interesting to understand for our listeners.
Yeah. So at the highest level, essentially what we've announced here is our integrated support of our Cloud Block Store product in Azure with Azure VMware Solutions. So you can now consume storage from our product to independently scale your amount of storage needed for your AVS environment via block data stores, right? So, you know, traditional model that you're used to on-premises of iSCSI-based data stores, present it to AVS. So if you need more capacity, you don't need more nodes, you can just provision from us. So at the highest level, that's effectively what we announced. And I guess the second part of your question to answer is, like, why are we getting to this now, right? A couple of reasons, right? One is, you know, not that this was the reason, but this is kind of additional anecdotes to around, is that we did a webinar last week on kind of recap of VMware Explorer, and we had 500-600 people on it, and we did a little survey. How many of you are currently using a VMware cloud? How many of you are currently planning on using one or investigating how it's going to matter to your organization? And, you know, are you not and are you never? And 85% said, I'm either doing it now or I'm planning on doing it in the short term, right? And so there's a lot of movement to VMware cloud offerings. A significant amount of our customers today are leveraging VMware. An easy majority of our customers in some way, shape, or form are using VMware. And frankly, the block market in the public cloud has been underserved. A lot of the, if not all, really, of the external storage options today in the public cloud for VMware are file-based. And a significant amount of the on-premises market is block. And really a big piece of choosing something like AVS is consistency. I want a consistent approach to my infrastructure. I use VMware heavily on-premises, and it just makes sense to also use that in the public cloud. And so providing that consistent approach to storage to that significant amount of folks that are using block on-premises helps make that story more true, like across the board from the storage and the compute. And so this is really a big part of why we're entering in this market, not only because it's a growing one, becoming more and more important to all of our customers, but also right now the block piece is underserved, and we wanted to help those customers.
And I guess one of those other reasons it could be very interesting is something that we've seen in VMware Cloud on AWS as well. It's all based on vSAN, but it also means it scales in a particular way, which may not always fit the model from a compute perspective. So I'm guessing that's also one of the reasons you started looking into this space.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we didn't want to check a box, right? When we added support for this. I mean, we did want to check that box, but we wanted to check it in a way that was solving problems novelly for our customers as well. And when we were looking at reasons for problems around adopting VMware Cloud offerings, there was a couple pieces. One is struggles around databases, struggles around use cases that go around those databases. And a lot of that was cemented around some copy data management tools. But fundamentally, there was a line here that came up a lot is that it was too expensive. And the question when we looked into it was, did it just literally cost too much? No, the architecture didn't quite fit the customer's needs, making it too expensive for a certain amount of customers' architectures. And a big part of that was they were very storage heavy. I was talking to a VMware seller just last week. They had a customer that had to buy 5 nodes for 1 VM of storage. They still did it because they had a CIO mandate to get to the public cloud, and that's what they had to do. But it was wildly cost ineffective for that particular architecture. And so these are places that we can significantly help. And we put a lot of effort into our product to drop the infrastructure cost of it, to not only solve the external storage part, but make it cost effective external storage. And that's really a key piece of really solving that problem.
Yeah, and I guess if you look at it from an operational perspective, it also simplifies the life because, when you have got 5 hosts running, you also need to manage 5 hosts. And in the end, when you've got a storage array running and maybe 1 or 2 hosts, those are the entities that you need to manage. Now, on the topic of the operational aspect of things, maybe it's good to talk us through what it actually looks like when you deploy it, because I've never seen a solution like that deployed. I know what it looks like from a VMware Cloud on AWS perspective, but not from a Pure Plus AVS point of view. So what does that actually look like?
Yeah, so fundamentally, CBS is what's called a Microsoft managed application. So it is a locked-down deployed application that Pure supports as needed, but a customer deploys on demand, right? So they can deploy our product. It's an ARM template, and they can generally use Microsoft tooling. We have a Terraform provider for customers that are becoming increasingly popular for deployment to deploy CBS as needed on demand. And they can all consume from the same overall license. And so the license is based on used capacity, not provisioned. And so they can share that across as many CBSs as their architecture needs, multiple availability zones, things like that. And so a customer deploys it into their Azure VNet. Now, a big piece of this is how it interacts with Azure VMware solution. One of the mainstays of managed VMware clouds is that the compute infrastructure is read-only. Customers don't have administrative access to the ESX nodes themselves. And so administrative changes, storage configuration, data store creation, things like that, are not permitted. So how is that done? Microsoft has built a variety of ways of doing this, and what we've done with them is they have a back-end infrastructure that they call run command. Run command is a set of APIs in their UI to run escalated privileged operations against AVS environments that they dictate, this is what can be done, and who can actually run that. And so we worked together with them to build the APIs that we needed to provision iSCSI targets, mount data stores, refresh data stores, expand them, things like that, to make sure that the workflows that our customers expect around storage and VMware are available, and they also don't have to deal with the ins and outs of how to configure iSCSI. It's just, I need my data store access, there you go. And so it's easy to support from an SLA perspective because it's consistent, and customers don't have to understand the details that often they need to on-premises if they were doing it themselves.
And it sounds like a very easy way to set things up. Now, you've mentioned iSCSI a couple of times, but one of the things I haven't heard you say yet, and I think this is the magic word, is virtual volumes or VMFS. So maybe you can talk us through what files to the system is being used. Are we doing vVols? Are we doing VMFS? And if we're doing one or the other, why?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have launched initially with VMFS. We are working on vVols, and that is absolutely coming. There's a couple pieces here of why this decision was made. First off, when it comes to VMFS, the day zero is a little bit less, right? I mean, you just create a volume, mount it up, there you go, move on your way. vVols, there's a little bit more. You have to register the VOS provider, you have to mount the vVol data store, and create some storage policies. So the day two, there's a lot of advantages. Day zero, it's a few less steps, right? And so when we're building a managed application, a managed service, these configuration things take some design, take some co-engineering. How do we want to work with Microsoft to manage VASA registration and things like that? So it takes a little bit more design work together to put that together to deliver it as a service. That is the end state. That's what we're working towards, because really vVols maps quite a bit better to the old cloud operating model in general. But to get our customers into this use case, to fundamentally solve one of the key problems was external storage. And so we could quickly get there with VMFS, solving the business value part. The vVols adds a lot of additional technical and lifecycle value that we were going to and we're working towards. So that is currently coming, but today it is VMFS based.
Yeah, I can imagine. Especially a lot of customers on-prem are already used to using these policy-based management concepts, so having that available in the cloud would be really good. One of the other things that I wanted to briefly discuss is some of the functionality that CBS provides. Does it actually provide, you know, the whole scale of functionality that you have available on-prem as well? You know, things like replication or stretch clustering, etc. Is everything available within AWS?
It's got the whole proverbial kitchen sink. Now, there are some exceptions, right? Like we don't support Fibre Channel in the public cloud or something like that. But the relevant software features like snapshot replication, snapshot offload to Azure Blob, synchronous active-active replication, aka like stretch storage, continuous async replication, those are all built into the product. They work from CBS to CBS or on-premises FlashArray to CBS. It's the same software. It's the same code. And so these things interop directly with one another. So whether you're doing a hybrid model or 100% in the public cloud, the replication, snapshot, QoS features that are available on FlashArray are available there with CBS.
Now, it doesn't directly relate to CBS, but one of the things that would be interesting understanding more about is some of the requirements, because you were just talking about the stretch cluster configuration, for instance, and I know what the stretch cluster configurations need to look like for vSAN. So there are very specific requirements in terms of throughput, bandwidth, latency, etc. So probably good for the listeners to discuss that as well, both for, you know, async and synchronous replication or stretch clusters, what some of those requirements would look like if you go from on-prem into the cloud. And, you know, if that would also work within a cloud environment itself.
Yeah, so there's a couple of pieces here. So let's talk about stretch clustering first. So as folks may or may not be aware, AVS just went into the generally available deployment of stretch clustering, right? And Microsoft has this process. It's called private preview, public preview, and GA. It's pretty straightforward. Private preview is a select beta of customers to test out a use case. Once that's gone well, or they get the feedback, implement it, whatever, they move into public preview, where it's announced publicly and anyone can do it. The main difference between public preview and GA is not a feature difference, it's a support SLA, right, around Microsoft support, around severity and response times and things like that. You know, the stretch storage with native AVS and vSAN was in private preview, just exited public preview, and just about a week ago, VMware Explorer essentially went into GA. So stretch storage with external storage is currently in design mode right now. We support Active Cluster, which is our async, our synchronous active-active replication, but it's really more about I have two AVS deployments, and I want synchronous replication between the two. Stretch storage is something that will be forthcoming for external storage. It's something we, once again, kind of back to the design, there's some configurations that we need to think about. Because in the end, there are settings and administrative changes around vSphere HA policies, APD and PDL loss that require some thought and design, because we needed a consistent approach around configuring those things through these run command APIs to make sure that we can support it and it is the right methodology. So official stretched clustering with compute and external storage is a roadmap item that we're working on testing out and design and validating, and then we'll go through that process when we're ready. But just general synchronous active-active replication is available between two distinct AVS nodes, right? And so one of the advantages we have around that architecture is overall CBS itself is deployed into an Azure VNet. There are some throughput restrictions from the AVS environment to a regular VNet. But from VNet to VNet in Azure, there is not. And so our replication is not in the AVS network. We do the reads and writes to our product, but our replication goes through the Azure backbone. And so when it comes to throughput and latency, there is significant more bandwidth, really, that we can put between those products. And so when you're doing it within an AVS environment to another one, there are some restrictions about going through that express route gateway, through an ultra fast path, or rather express route to an ultra fast path outside of it into a VNet. We don't have that restriction. So we can do a lot more traffic on our backend without interfering with IO traffic from an AVS environment, either to our storage, to some other product, or out to the internet, some other application that it's interacting with.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about how this would actually work from a stress clustering perspective when you have some of your hosts sitting in in Azure, and then you have some of your host on-prem, and probably you're using the vCenter server that sits in Azure, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult. So how do you manage all of those entities from a VMware perspective? From a storage perspective, I can imagine how it works, but from a VMware perspective, that must be extremely complex.
Yeah, my suspicion here is that we're not going to see stretched clusters from on-prem into the public cloud very frequently because of that reason. There's a lot of complexities there around how I would use Direct Connect, or rather Express Route and so forth, or VPNs as the case may be around for it. So we'll see where that market develops. I expect a lot of stretched clustering within AVS deployment, so actually having a stretch cluster across availability zones, that's a much more straightforward approach. I expect that to probably be the bulk of the stretch storage market. Our active replication is probably going to be more targeted at like migrations, where we do cross vCenter vMotions, make sure the storage is there, and there you go. I expect that to be the most common deployment from a hybrid perspective when it comes to stretch storage. But, you know, we'll see. The market's certainly developing still.
Yeah, from a hybrid perspective, I can also imagine that most customers would be interested in the async replication of snapshots. Now, on that particular topic, I think one of those things that most listeners would be interested in understanding as well, if you would also be supporting an orchestration layer like Site Recovery Manager, or maybe a different orchestration layer for that matter, right? That doesn't really matter which one it is, as long as you can orchestrate the failover itself, because that's where the complexity typically comes into play.
Yeah, certainly. So Site Recovery Manager is an outstanding item right now around hybrid deployments. Site Recovery Manager is supported to VMware Cloud, but is specifically supported only today with vSphere Replication. So that's an outstanding item around the Site Recovery Manager product. So overall orchestration around external storage is going to rely on tooling that we offer, some orchestration scripts and some other tools that we offer, and partnering. So Jetstream, we're working with some validated solutions with them. Of course, your other common ones, Veeams and related tool sets, Veeam Recovery Manager, things like that. We're working with those partners to build some orchestration there too. And so those are certainly main focus areas for us. We're very interested in SRM support somewhere down the road, but that's still an outstanding item on the VMware side.
Yeah, I guess from a VMware perspective, and I'm not trying to push the product managers, but it should be relatively simple to certify it, because the SRA is probably not going to be much different for on-prem than it is in the cloud, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the major benefits around our product, frankly, is that one of the first hurdles, quote unquote, that we had to get past to move forward with the solution was we were asked to certify your storage with VMware in the cloud. This is harder than it sounds. There's a lot of engineering that's gone into making storage work correctly with VMware, especially on the block side. A big part of the certification process to really make it work is things like VAAI. VAAI is not something that's implemented outside of VMware, right? Atomic test and set, all that type of stuff just doesn't exist. And so time after time, a lot of block storage options just failed to pass certification. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't get the density they wanted. They couldn't get the performance because of these problems. It was a major issue. This software is all the same stuff we've been running on FlashArray for years. And so we passed certification in essentially about a week. It was just a matter of making the tool set work around the internal tools that VMware has around certification for like read-only ESX hosts. So there's some goofiness around there, but we passed it really quickly. And frankly, the whole VAAI thing is funny. Like, I remember, Duncan, like, say, VMworld 2000, actually, I think it was EMC World 2009, if I recall, where we did a hands-on lab of VAAI, like previewing it, and people were just cloning VMs. Look how fast it is with it on and off and stuff. And now that's old hat these days on-prem. Like, we don't do bake-offs with customers very often about, like, hey, look how fast we can clone a VM. It's kind of table stakes these days. But in the cloud, like, our very first, like, private preview customers, like, let me clone a VM on your platform. And it was, like, way, way, way faster. And I was like, wow, this feels like 15 years ago when it comes to it. Because, honestly, the introduction of VAAI is a novel thing inside of the public cloud, because the NFS deployments require VIBs to enable VAAI, and that's not an allowed thing within the VMware cloud, because they don't want you installing code into those nodes. And so it's a gap there. And so this is something that we're bringing into it with our solution, which is a, you know, something new, something old type of thing, which has actually been exciting to see customers take advantage of.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that from a VIBs perspective, because yeah, it makes sense. You don't want to run code that you're not responsible for, and you haven't bought yourself or procured yourself in any shape or form or tested. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, talking about running code, one of the aspects, of course, not just of recovery when it comes to these, you know, async replication solutions, but operations in general, is the automation aspect of things. Now, what I've noticed watching some of the sessions on this topic is that you've also done something with Power CLI or PowerShell in particular. Maybe you can talk us through what you've actually done for that, for AVS specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. So we built these backend APIs with Microsoft to enable provisioning of iSCSI, mounting of data stores, and things like that. And so it enables customers to potentially kind of click through to do it. But generally, that's a nice way to maybe demo something, test it out. But it's not the path the customers generally like to go after when for long-term orchestration automation of have someone click through. To this day, still, what is one of the most common tools to orchestrate VMware environments? It's PowerShell, Power CLI. It's super common. So one of the things that we built alongside this to make it easier for customers to slide this right into their orchestration is we built a specific PowerShell module on top of the C# libraries that were needed to run these APIs against AVS to configure data stores, mount them. So the experience is very similar for customers who want to orchestrate PowerShell, and they don't have to write it from first principle. So this is something that we provided to our customers that they can install anywhere. We also have an OVA that it comes just baked into it as well if they want to just deploy the OVA and run it directly from there just to make it simpler. So there's a couple different methodologies around it. And adoption grows, we'll look at other SDKs too if customers want to look at other languages like Ansible or Python and so forth.
On the topic of management itself, what about the monitoring side of things? I know you guys already have a tool, Pure One. Is that something that you can leverage both on-prem as well as in the cloud, or either or? How does that work?
Yeah, certainly. So for the uninitiated with Pure, we have a SaaS offering called Pure One. It comes default with all of our products. If your array, your deployment dials home, which the vast majority of our customers are, not dark sites, but some of them are, a lot of their call home data, performance, information, all that stuff gets dialed back to Pure One. So they can see all their fleet of flash arrays and CBSs as well. And of course, flash blades and other products from Pure inside of Pure One. So capacity usage, busyness. We have a metric called busyness. It helps our customers understand from a percentage perspective how busy their CBS is, 75%, 80%. So if they were to do a hardware upgrade, virtual in this case in the public cloud, how busy would it be after that? These things are all built in the Pure One. So a consistent view of their storage across the hybrid cloud. And we also, within Pure One, we have something called VM Analytics, which is basically a little agent that you can deploy via an OVA in a VMware environment. Pulls performance, capacity, CPU metrics from AVS in this case, but any VMware offering really. Dials it back to Pure One, and you can see an end-to-end view from your VMs to the virtual disks, to the data stores, to the host, to the storage, around all those metrics across the board. Capacity churn, changes, and it's all built and shown in a nice little simple UI within Pure One. And that really helps customers get a good view of what's going on inside of their environment.
That actually got me thinking, one of the other things that customers could potentially be interested in is migration to the cloud itself. Are you offering any features around that from on-prem to the cloud, or are you relying on the snapshot technology and the replication itself?
Yeah, so it depends on the customer, right? So if you're an on-premises flash array customer, the migration process is super straightforward. You just deploy your CBS, hook up replication, get the data sets in there, whether you're in stretch storage and then just do a vMotion or some more of a failover type process. There's a couple different options there. If you don't have an on-premises flash array, there are some software methodologies that you can use, whether you're backup and restore or even a storage vMotion to get the data sets in there, and some other alternatives we can dig into with customers with some orchestration partners around, that offload or leverage our replication to get data sets in there. But one of the other key pieces that we talk to customers about is this overall migration strategy. What we've seen is customers have a mandate to move to the public cloud or take advantage of public cloud for either new environments, new applications, or just literally evacuate their data centers. One of the problems we see, though, is that that mandate does not necessarily line up with their storage refresh cycle. And so they might have a storage refresh cycle at the end of this year, but they have a mandate to get into the public cloud by the end of 2024. And so, buying a one-year storage platform doesn't generally happen. They usually have to buy three or something like that. And so one of the subscription offerings we offer, it's conceptually similar to VMCU, VMware Universal, is our Evergreen subscription, where they can buy a license capacity. It'll license their FlashArray on premises. They can move data sets to CBS. And if they empty that flash array, that gets shipped back to Pure. And all that licensing is mobile and goes to. And so we're helping to try to solve this from a technology problem, situation, which is like data replication and so forth, but also from a licensing perspective. So you don't have a sunk cost on a storage array on premises that you may not need for the entire 3 years of its service life or its refresh cycle life or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's a really smart approach. I really like that. Now that we're talking about cost and capacity and those types of things anyway, you've already briefly explained what it looks like from a Pure perspective, but is there also a Microsoft aspect to it? So do the customers see two bills? How does that actually work?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways of purchasing our product. So one is just like you can buy a CBS license, right? Sure, and you can buy that through your channel partner, your VAR, whatever, normal mechanism. You can buy an Evergreen One license from us as well. And then that's applicable to CBS or FlashArray. And that's also through your VAR normal process as you're probably used to. OpEx, not CapEx, of course, in that case. Alternatively, you can purchase it through the marketplace. So we do have our subscription available for CBS in the Azure marketplace. This is generally the preferred mechanism for a couple of reasons. One is that way your build, your payments all go through Microsoft, and your channel partner can help you with that as well, and they can sell that to you and provide additional services and even discounting through it. And so your channel partner is not cut out of this, right? It's often they're trying to help you with this and make sure that they're adding value. And so they have the option to sell our offering through the marketplace as well. And a key thing about this is since you can purchase it through the marketplace, we are validated to drive it against your Mac, your Microsoft commitment. And so if you buy our license, it does go against that. So not only does CBS consume infrastructure on the back end that goes against your commitment to Microsoft, so you're not paying for something you wouldn't be normally committed to, also the licensing of our product can go against that. And that's a particularly important advantage around purchasing it through the marketplace. But we do offer it in both mechanisms because different customers have different needs.
Before I let you go, I think one of the questions I do need to ask is, what about the other public cloud environments? Because there are many different solutions out there, so whether it's Google, Alibaba, maybe Oracle, or one or the other, you know, even 5,000 cloud partners that VMware has. So are you looking to explore that space as well?
It is not an unexplored territory for us right now, Duncan, if you will. yes, these are certainly active conversations. I can't talk about timelines or whatnot, but no, our focus is not exclusively going to be at AVS forever. We are actively looking at the other VMware clouds. So I expect some updates in not too long future around that.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Cody, for an interesting episode. Any famous last words or any interesting things you want to plug?
You brought it up first, so I'll bring it. On a side note, this is an extremely exciting time for vVols, right? There's been some cool stuff going on. VASA 4 came out. VASA 5 came out. VASA 6, aka Stretch Storage, is at the finish line of development. So there's a lot of exciting work coming out around vVols. And like, frankly, there's more investment, more engineering projects from the VMware side, and of course, the storage partner side, because it's a partnership around vVols than like right now, then it literally in the past 7 years combined. There's a ton of stuff going on right now. And you can see this in the 8.0 update 2 release notes. All like of the 22 or so new storage features, there's two NFS, there's one VMFS improvement around snapshot consolidation, and then there's like 15 or so specifically around vVols. It's part of our RDM search and destroy program, and you'll see a lot of clustering related improvements and things that are specifically only built for vVols that are not applicable to other data store types because it's just not kind of possible. So this, I'm just as excited as ever around vVols. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming there.
And that's it. We've reached the end of another episode of the Unexplored Territory podcast. If I have to summarize today's episode, then my key takeaway would be that Pure Cloud Block Store enhances storage scalability and flexibility for Azure VMware solution, just as they've done for on-prem over the years. Again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and rate the podcast wherever possible. If you have any feedback, send us a message on Twitter on @unexploredpod. Last but not least, I would like to thank Cody once again for a fantastic episode.